I would like to invite Sean to come forward to do our scripture reading.
As soon as they left the sanctuary, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preached in their sanctuaries, and driving out demons.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was asked to lead a women's retreat at Camp Crestfield for the ladies of Highland Presbyterian Church. Highland was currently in between ministers, and they needed someone to lead their annual women's retreat. While I was leading the retreat, I learned that the ladies of Highland had been gathering at Camp Crestfield in January for the last 35 years. This women's retreat was actually the first women's retreat I ever attended, let alone led. Unlike the retreats of my youth and my college years, I learned that women's retreats have this thing called downtime, which is basically unscheduled time where you can do whatever you want. Having never really experienced downtime on a retreat before, I looked to some of the other women to see what I was supposed to do with this, like, 3-hour chunk of time. One of the women, Linda, invited me to grab a seat next to her on the sofa. Linda is a retired gym teacher. She's got a bad hip, and she told me that she was scheduled to have her 5th elbow surgery later that month. So Linda is not going to be taking a walk in the woods surrounding Camp Crestfield during her downtime. Linda told me that she serves as a deacon at Highland, and the deacons, every year, are responsible for providing a service project for the retreat. And that year, they decided to make Linus blankets. As we were talking, I noticed that nestled in between us on the couch was stacks of what looked like unfinished children's blankets. These blankets came in various sizes. Some were covered with butterfly patterns. Some had kittens and flowers. A few even had the Steelers logo printed on them. "I'm going to teach you to make a Linus blanket," Linda told me. "It's very simple. All you have to do is poke the fabric and pull the strips of fabric through the hole." So as I settled in to work on my first blanket, Linda told me all about Project Linus. Project Linus's mission is to provide blankets for children who are either experiencing sickness or trauma. The Linus blankets are named after the Peanuts character, Linus Van Pelt. In the comic strip, Linus is this smart, shy, serious little boy who's never without his blanket. It's a source of comfort to him when his older sister, Lucy, teases him. Project Linus creates and collects Linus blankets to be distributed to sick kiddos in local hospitals. I was reminded of Linda and her Linus blankets when I read our scripture passage for today. In Mark's gospel, Jesus' healing ministry begins with Simon's mother-in-law. You'll recall from a couple weeks ago that Simon is one of Jesus' disciples. His mother-in-law is one of the first deacons we encounter in the New Testament. The word deacons comes from the Greek word deaconos, meaning servant, or messenger, or man in waiting. Mark tells us that Jesus cured her of her fever. The fever left her, and she begins to wait on the men gathered in her home. Now, you may be wondering why Simon didn't tell his mother-in-law to take a seat and relax. He can fix the sandwiches and maybe make the coffee for his friends. His mother-in-law just had a demon in her. To be fair, the demon was probably just a fever. But in the ancient Near East, a fever was often attributed to a demonic force. Irregardless, it wouldn't have been unreasonable for her to need some rest before she starts waiting on Simon and his friends. What's really interesting, though, is when you look at the text, neither Jesus nor Simon commands her to serve them. She assumes the initiative, and she also assumes the consequences of working on the Sabbath. The other interesting thing is that it is her diaconal work that provides us with some of the earliest proclamation of the gospel. By that I mean that her service shows us what discipleship can look like. If we want to follow Jesus, then we strive to emulate his behavior. And scripture tells us that Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, he preached in the synagogues, and he drove out demons. This passage encourages us to imagine how we might live out our discipleship in service to others. It also encourages us to imagine what that service might look like as Christians living in 2021. I think a helpful place to start is by looking at Jesus' life and ministry. Like Jesus, service for us should include some type of traveling, preaching, and driving out of demons. Let me give you some examples of what that might look like. So first, traveling. You'll notice that Jesus doesn't expect the crowds to come to him. He goes to where the crowds are. So for us, traveling is going to mean going out into our communities and discerning how we might meet their needs. Now, I know it's 2021, so traveling is going to look a little different for us than it did in the ancient Near East. A lot of what I say is traveling is going to have to happen virtually or maybe socially distanced. But I do think a good place to start is by thinking about the people that you've lost touch with over this last year and think about how you might reconnect with them. So next, preaching. Preaching isn't always or usually what I'm doing right now. For Jesus, preaching meant sharing words of hope with desperate people. I don't want to give too much of the story away, but Jesus actually preaches more words of hope and encouragement and love than he does words of judgment. I think in a pandemic, good preaching points to the hope we have in Jesus, that even in the face of tremendous suffering and loss, we have hope in a God who is actively conquering the forces of sin and evil, that eventually this pandemic will end, and we are learning to be grateful for the hard lessons we've learned along the way. Finally, driving out demons. I'm really not talking about exorcisms here. Please do not go home and tell your parents that the pastor said that doing an exorcism will make you a better disciple. What I mean by driving out demons is providing comfort and healing to people who are discouraged and wounded by life. Driving out deacons is the work of diaconal ministry. Sometimes that work is as simple as sending a blanket to a sick kiddo in the hospital. Maybe this week it's sending Kathy Henrietto a card as she goes and has her surgery. I want to wrap up by saying that I think all disciples are called to service, because I think service is the most effective, the most visible way that we can share the love of Jesus with others. I think a lot of us think that we can't serve because we don't have enough time or energy or skills. To that I say, you don't have to start with something big. I promise you that no one is going to ask you to coordinate the Boy Scout spaghetti dinner the first year you are volunteering with the Scouts. Start with something simple. Offer to carry an elderly neighbor's groceries in for them. Make a blanket. Make one that doesn't involve using a sewing machine if you don't know how to do that. Once you master the small stuff, then is the time to do something that scares you. Maybe visit with that elderly neighbor after you've unloaded her groceries. Maybe volunteer to distribute the blankets at a local hospital. Before you know it, what started as doing something nice for someone else becomes an important part of how you share the story of Jesus with others. The key here is to remember that we serve because Jesus first served us. We don't serve because we have to, because it's expected of us, because we want people to speak highly of us. We do it because it's the best way we know to point others to Jesus. It is a small way that, like Simon's mother-in-law, we show gratitude to God for what God has done for us. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.